Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're talking with Michael Volker and Jane Shack from the Health Action Network about some of the work they're doing and, you know, the Health Action Network, what it does for the for people and businesses across Canada. Now, I'm not sure who wants to talk about this, but one of the programs that you've had for a few years is Fluoride Free BC.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something I can kind of, you know, sort of address. It's a committee that I'm involved with. And, yeah, this has been actually a campaign that has been operating for decades, actually, through a former director, Len Greenall. Basically, there is quite an intense kind of, sort of research that was done into fluoride years ago. And so Hans has taken the position that we really would like to inform the public about fluoride and some of its hazards or risks. And so we have taken that kind of position to how can we assist the province to kind of work on this BC fluoride-free concept, and that's what we're working on.
What are some of the issues, Jane, around fluoridation that people should be aware of?
Well, it's a complex issue. It's a very challenging one for a lot of people. I think that initially what BC residents could be aware of is that fluoride has actually only being put into really 3% of the population's water. So the whole province of BC is actually at 97% fluoride-free. Mm. And what's happened is that the five communities that are left in the province, they're pretty well resource-based communities, meaning that, there's no fluoride in the Okanagan or Vancouver or the Lower Mainland, certainly not on Vancouver Island or the Gulf Islands. And the only place where there is fluoride is actually in these resource-based communities, of which one is Prince George. Mm-hmm. And Prince George, we're just calculating those numbers, but Prince George is going to referendum on November 15th, along with Cranbrook and also Sparwood. And those three communities have the opportunity to, vote and make a decision about, whether they want fluoride in their water or not. So conceivably, if those three communities were to vote out fluoride, then basically there would be less than 1% fluoride in the whole province, with just Fort St. John and Terrace actually having fluoride. I mean, there's obviously there's a lot of tremendous research that's been done. There's an excellent website. It's called fluoridealert.org. And that sort of really is a powerful website, which is looking at fluoride from the world level, and very capable individuals are kind of very passionate about getting the word out. And there's been taking out of fluoride, let's say, in the whole world. So there's countries that have absolutely banned it, and I don't know all the details of that, but if anybody's interested, that's really a great place to check that out, is fluoridealert.org.
Jane, you're saying that the trend in communities, not only in BC, but across Canada, is to take fluoridation out.
Absolutely. What's actually happened, it's interesting, is that we have our stats from the government of BC. And what's happened is that, like, almost 40 years ago, Mackenzie was the last community to ever voluntarily put fluoride into their water, like a new community. And so that was done way back in 1975. So 40 years later, basically, there's no new communities, but there are these older communities that still have it. And that's what's interesting is that, it's just this tremendous trend that is definitely, there was originally 22 communities in BC that had fluoride, so now we're down to these five. So the trend is, definitely taking out fluoride. There are lots of hazards. There's tremendous research out there on the internet about many of the hazards. And it's a complex subject.
Well, I was just reading an article the other day, actually. It was printed by the government of British Columbia, and they looked at the dental rates of children across BC in the different health authorities. And Northern Health, which actually has the highest level of fluoridation because it has Prince George, Terrace, and Fort St. John. So I think 47% of their area is fluoridated, or the population. They have the worst teeth in the whole province.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have read that report, and I just have to say that's amazing. It's definitely, that's done by the government of BC itself, and definitely that must indicate that, you know, fluoride is just not what it said it to be, and it's something to relook at completely.
Michael, you know, I guess you don't, it's not something that you deal with in terms of very much in much of the province, because obviously it's not an issue for most people.
Well, yeah, it's, I think it's 97% of our province population does not have fluoride in its water. So it's really just these few communities that are kind of the outliers on this issue. And, you know, ironically, we are seeing those, that study on dental outcomes. It was the reason for fluoride in the water was to protect teeth when it originally was put into the water. I think, isn't that correct, Jane?
That's what was said. I mean, there's many theories about what it was actually, why it was put into water, but that was one of them.
And yet now you're seeing that the populations that have introduced fluoride, they have worse dental outcomes.
Yes.
Really, you know, it comes to an issue of tax money at that point, because, you know, the governments are spending money on putting the stuff in the water. And if it's not working, you know, really, what's the point?
Well, absolutely. And there's issues such as, you know, you have elderly people who don't even have teeth at all. And it's been proven to affect their bones and make them brittle. And I mean, there's small babies, basically, that if, or children, let's say, that if they were to swallow that toothpaste, they have to be taken to the hospital. There's very, you know, there's some very serious things we have to look at here about fluoride. So, you know, the safe thing, why don't we just, you know, if people are really into that particular thing, what they can do is get treatments from a dentist, or I understand that there's drops. Other than that, you know, we don't need it on our lawns or for our pets or for the elderly or for children. So I think it's time to really just, you know, break the cycle and let's move forward and, you know, have pure water in our province.
Len Greenwald, one of the, I guess, one of the directors of Hands for Well, was really a big, did a lot of research in this area. Tell us a little bit about the history of Len and what he did.
Wow, he was an amazing man. I just worked with him. He was kind of retired for many years, actually. He was a very successful business person, and he was actually able to put quite a bit of his resources towards trying to really kind of break the fluoride cycle. He was very passionate about it. I know that I remember, in fact, in 1998, I did live in Prince George, and at the time there was this opportunity to talk to council. It was 1998, and so we put together a really large sort of a submission to council with individual binders for each of the councillors, with a tremendous amount of peer reviewed research. And and Len was there. He was available. He was a very authoritative individual on this topic. And what happened was we were unable to really have any time with council. And at the end of the day, they never really looked at the material. And that was really disappointing. I have to say that way back in 1998, we could have really addressed that at that time if people were open to, you know, at least looking at some research and some information that's pretty that indicates it can be very harmful.
Well, Prince George actually is one of the communities that never ever had a vote on fluoride. It was something that the health authorities and the city decided that was good for you and just dumped it in the water. Are there other communities in BC that are in a similar position?
Well, what's interesting about that comment is that, you know, it's unfortunate the city council is put into this position because they're not authorities. They really, you know, it's not their expertise. And what did happen in Williams Lake, which was really a really wonderful thing to do, is that Williams Lake really decided to handle this very proactively. What they did do is they ended up hiring consultants that for $25,000, and these consultants, what they did is they put together information for the population that really was very balanced and not something that was kind of foisted upon, you know, the citizens. And so what happened with that in Williams Lake was that they were able actually to have a really substantial vote to get fluoride out of the water quite easily through that method.
You know, what are some of the alternatives to fluoridation? Obviously, education is one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that working in other areas?
Well, the reality is most other areas. I think of the trends worldwide are that because of education and awareness, dental problems have just really reduced substantially, hugely. You can get graphs all over the internet pretty well indicating that it was a natural time for decay and all those kind of things to sort of diminish. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
So what you're saying is that the dental decay rates...
Went down anyways,
irregardless of whether people fluoridated or not.
Absolutely. So it's the strangest thing when you see these reports. It's like, wow, look at this. I mean, there's whole countries that didn't have it, but that are having the same, the same trend to decrease decay. Yeah.
Sometimes we hear, the fact that the World Health Organization is a promoter of fluoridation, but how much of the world is fluoridated?
Oh gosh, again, that's a fluoride alert question. But I think it's not as big as people think.
I think it's only 2 or 3%, I believe, is what
I know. It's really tiny, and many populations are just absolutely banning it, even though they have had it in the past. I mean, it's coming out in all kinds of countries, great successes. And
I can read you a quote from Fluoride Alert.
Okay.
They say most developed nations, including all of Japan and 90% of Western Europe, do not fluoridate their water.
Absolutely not.
Well, Michael, we only have a couple minutes left. I'm just wondering if you can just give us a summary of what HANS does. Hopefully, next time we talk, Prince George will have voted fluoride out, and I believe there's a couple other communities in the province that have a vote on fluoridation this weekend. So hopefully, next time we talk, the fluoridation will be voted out in these communities as well. So let's just talk quickly about, just remind the listeners about HANS, what you do, and how people can get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, HANS, Health Action Network Society, we are a nonprofit. You can get a hold of us by going to our website, which is simply HANS, HANS.org. And there you can go under magazine and you can pull up our electronic version of our Health Action magazine. And on page 44 of that magazine, you can get the BC Fluoride update. So what I would really invite your listeners to consider is joining HANS. We are a consumer-driven organization, and the more members we have, the greater our voice with Health Canada and other regulatory bodies. And our voice being that we want to make sure that Canadians get access to complementary alternative natural therapies and products. So we're out there, really as an organization that's fighting for Canadians' freedom of access. And, we know that the more people we have involved in our organization, the more chapters we can start to open up, and the greater our voice with the politicians out there.
Michael and Jane, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dave.
That's it for this week's show. I'd like to thank Garrett Perry, Reg Fair, and producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Thank you for listening. If you have any suggestions for us, go to our website, healthfirstradio.com.